This is The Spot, a BYU-Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are Miles Prim and Bailey Escamilla. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. Welcome to The Spot. Today we're going to be talking about the Tony Awards, which were this Sunday, June 10th.
Right.
Our hosts for the Tonys were Sarah Bareilles and Josh Groban. Both of them became famous in the musical theater world last year. Josh Groban was in The Great Comet and Sarah Bareilles was in Waitress. What did you think of their opening number, Miles?
I thought it was really good. It was interesting because both of them are powerhouses, you know, whether it's in the musical theater or whether it's in the just regular music industry. And I thought it was really funny how, you know, kind of at the beginning, they're like, oh, what awards have you won? Like, oh, I haven't. Like, well, what about you? Like, yeah, no, me either. And I thought it was cute because usually with the opening numbers, it's this big flashy thing of, hey, remember all these great talents from this year? But instead it's like, hey, not everybody's gonna win, so we're just gonna make this song for you.
Yeah, they actually had a lot of critics about the opening number, though, because a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it kind of started it on a sour note, like a depressing note. But I feel like they did it in such a way that it was so funny and catchy. It wasn't like a pity me, pat me on the back kind of song. It was more of a, hey, this is the reality, but we're still going to have fun, and it's still great. We love this industry because we love the art of it.
Right. And I think to support your claim, at the end of their number, they had everybody who was a cast member from every show that was nominated on the stage. So it's not like they were saying, oh, we're bitter at the winners already. They were including everybody and said, hey, we all have an equal shot, but at the end, we're all kind of winners. Like, we're all just producing music and dances and shows and lights and spirit fingers that everybody loves. Yeah. You know, it's all catchy.
A lot of people thought that the show in general was a huge disappointment. Like, they expected all these powerhouses to win awards, and then it was really the underdogs, the little shows that, like, came in and swept everything. For musicals, there was Once on This Island, which, right, not a lot of people have heard of, but everyone's heard of Carousel or My Fair Lady.
Right.
And those were expected to win, and they didn't, for Best Revival. And then for Best Musical in general, SpongeBob SquarePants led the nominations.
Right.
Like, they had the most. And even Frozen, people expected to do better. But it was the little show, The Band's Visit, that won everything.
Well, I think that's the pureness of the Tonys is, and I'm not like a super expert when it comes to Broadway shows, but I feel like the pop culture, like, I feel like it's a cop-out whenever they take something from pop culture like SpongeBob SquarePants or like Harry Potter, even though The Cursed Child did fairly well in this year's Tonys, or like Frozen, or, you know, the Spider-Man. There are outliers like The Lion King and stuff like that that just kill it, right? But I feel like pure Broadway fans and critics, like, who aren't as interested in movies or just music in general, it's like pure Broadway that they're focused on, I feel like they seek out like the original stuff. Because let's face it, it's hard to come up with original material nowadays. And even though a revival is a category, I feel like it's still kind of a cop-out if they're like, oh, let's do My Fair Lady. You know, like, that's a pretty popular, like, everybody knows My Fair Lady, right? And everybody knows SpongeBob. And, like, sure, they did really well because everybody will take their kid there. But, I mean, and I know this is kind of a cheesy example, but, like, Hamilton. Like, who would have thought a musical about Alexander Hamilton would have been as successful as it was, right?
People who saw In the Heights.
I guess that's true, right? But I mean, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, it's kind of a cop-out to say, like, oh, Frozen did really well in the movies. Like, let's make a play out of it, right?
Yeah.
as opposed to saying, like, not many people know what this is. Let's throw this out here. And then it succeeds. I personally think that's cool.
But I will say, I wanted Mean Girls to win Best Book, at least.
Right.
Because even though it is a revival from the movie, both were written by Tina Fey, which shows, like, a great amount of talent. And her husband was the one who did the music for the score, because he's a musical guy. So it was such a wonderful married power duo behind right. the show. And I always looked up to Tina Fey, like, she's been my career inspiration since I was little. So I really wanted her to win. But even with their performance at the Tonys, I felt like their jokes weren't hitting. Like, their appeal was for a much younger audience, like, not much younger, like, high school age kids. I remember watching that movie when I was in high school, and I was like, oh, I kind of relate to this stuff. Like, I didn't go through a lot of the same stuff. It's right. very dramatized.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you're an adult and you watch it, and I know we haven't been out of the high school world for that long, but even in that short time, it's like, oh, this is very different.
Yeah.
You look back on it and you're like, I don't remember it like this at all.
Right. And I mean, high school, like, the Mean Girls that high school portrays is completely different from the high school that you and I are in,
yeah.
were in, or the high school that kids are in nowadays. Like, it's so, so much different. Like, I mean, even just, like, with the aspect of just technology, you know, smartphones and tablets. Like, I remember my senior year, we were allowed to use iPads for research on homework assignments. Like, we could check them out of the library and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of different from Mean Girls, because that was, what, like, 2004? Yeah, so that makes sense, because I remember being in primary and people talking about it. The girls in my class talking about Mean Girls. And
oh, my gosh. The kids in my class. So this is going to sound kind of bad, but my school was kind of divided into the rich white people and the lower class ethnic.
Okay.
So,
and where did you go to? What state?
California.
Okay.
So, like, the most diverse place
sure.
ever.
Right.
But that's how it was kind of divided. And so the upper class would always mention Mean Girls in anything they were talking about. And they quoted it so much that I liked the movie. I did. But by the end of going to school there, I was like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to ever hear that movie again. But then the musical came out and I've been listening to it on repeat ever since.
Oh man. So what makes the musical different from the movie?
They're basically the same. There are a couple of plot differences. Aaron Samuels isn't an idiot anymore.
Okay.
Which I liked. Also, Barrett Wilbur Weed is in it, and she is phenomenal. A lot of people thought it was a snub that she wasn't nominated for any Tonys. She was in the musical of Heathers.
Okay.
And she, like, blew it out of the park. She was great in this one. Regina George and Gretchen Wieners were nominated, but she played Janice.
Okay.
And she had some of, like, the most powerful ballads within the score, and she still wasn't nominated, and it was so upsetting. You
know? Wow, not even a nomination.
Not even a nomination.
Good grief.
I think it's also important to point out that just because, like they did in the opening, just because a show doesn't win doesn't mean it's not good.
Right. Because, I mean, in the opening they mentioned Seussical.
Yeah.
Right? And Seussical has been going on for however many years, and maybe even decades.
Jesus Christ Superstar, Dreamgirls and Hair.
Wow, hair?
I know, it's hair. Into the Woods.
Oh, but it's so good.
Yeah, Lost at the Phantom.
Couldn't they share?
Chicago and Waitress are still selling tickets.
But neither went home with Best Musical.
And one of the most produced shows is Mother. Seussical.
How did you feel about the, like, politics behind it? Because, like, I feel like, granted, the Tonys is always a bit of a dramatic show, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is just a culmination of the atmosphere, the spirit of Broadway, which is dramatic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing that happens with the Oscars, with the Grammys and the Emmys. You know, the Oscars, it's kind of superficial because the actors and directors will go up and they're like, oh, I didn't know I was going to win. And then, like, here they pull out this, like, thank you speech that they've written. And, you know, with the Grammys and Emmys, it kind of feels like a concert. Like, those shows have gotten a little out of control within the past couple of years. I think it all started with Kanye stepping up on stage, taking the mic from Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is these shows definitely capitalize on the atmosphere that the awards that the talent is producing. But I felt like this one was a little extra dramatic, just because of, like, the political atmosphere that we live in. Is that just me or?
So when Hamilton came out, Mike Pence went to see the show, and the cast gave a whole political speech to him before they started, and people were very upset about that. They were like, he's there to see a play, he paid you money, he doesn't need to be, like, spoken to like that.
Right. Weren't some of the actors threatening to not go out and perform that night because he was there, or?
I don't know. I didn't read that much
into it. It was really dramatic.
I remember my dad called me, and he told me about it, and he was like, that was wrong of them, they were in the wrong. And I was like, I guess, like, but it's freedom of speech, they can say whatever they want. But I think the thing is, these are actors who have a platform, so they take this opportunity where, like, a lot of people are watching to get out their views. But the question is this the right time and place?
Mm.
We know that the Tonys, because it deals with the arts, is a more liberal media.
Sure.
Like, yes, a lot of people who participate in theater are part of the LGBTQ community.
Right.
We expect them to be advocates. But you have Twitter, you have Snapchat, you have Instagram. You can post on that. Why do you have to take this moment that's just supposed to be for celebrating arts and say F Trump or
right?
Everyone should get a cake?
Yeah.
Is it the time and place for that?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because you're right. It's an award ceremony.
Yeah.
It's not a filibuster. It's not a rally. But at the same time, I mean, I'm kind of split, because as an audience member, I want to see the awards. I want to see the joy, and I don't want to, I want to go, you know, metaphorically go to these shows without worrying about what's going on yeah. other channels, right? But I do respect freedom of speech, and, like, maybe I don't agree with everything that they're saying necessarily, but, like, I can respect the aspect of, you know, them, I guess, saying how they feel, even though sometimes it's a little too dramatic for me. But it's the Donies, you know, you gotta have a little sizzle and flair every once in a while. Something that I really appreciated, though, just because I'm from Florida, is the Parkland students. The students from the Stoneman Douglas Drama Department, their performance from the Rent. And I don't know, I just thought it was pretty pure, because the drama teacher was a victim during the school shooting. And it was a nice tribute, I thought. And who would have thought those kids are so talented? Yeah. You know, they're just random high school kids. They're not even, like, a part of Broadway. But yet they were able to do that performance, and they've performed before. They had a like a town hall on CNN, and those kids performed as well, and it's great talent, you know, pretty good. Yeah. Better than me whenever I was in choir in high school.
Did you do any, like, musical theater play stuff in high school?
So that's actually, like, a weird story. In middle school I did. Yeah, and I'm just going to brag on myself for a little bit. It started in sixth grade. I was the genie in Aladdin Jr.
Nice.
And they painted me blue. And it was a nightmare, because I had to wear a bald cap, and it was just bad, right? You know, I just looked really weird, but everybody loved it, because, you know, how often do you see people who paint themselves blue, right?
True.
Right. So that was pretty fun. And then when I got to middle school in 7th and 8th grade, I was in Into the Woods, and then we did the Barber of Seville. And then my 8th grade year, we did Cyrano de Bergerac, and I played Cyrano, and I actually won, like, Actor of the Year or whatever in the, like, within my school district acting department, like, because it was a competition.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so I won Actor of the Year. It was really nice. It was a huge ego booster, as you know, for my little eighth grade mind. And it was really weird because before we were going to high school, the high school teacher came to speak to the cast of Cyrano de Bergerac, at least the kids who were graduating to high school. And he said, hey, I saw the show. Like, I think you all are great. I don't want you to start off in the beginner theater. Come and audition for the actual theater, like the varsity theater, right? Yeah. And so we're like, yeah, like, that's so cool. We auditioned, but then like something happened to where like it wouldn't work with our credits, like not the admissions, but long story short, we couldn't get into it because we were freshmen, even though the teacher gave us special permission to join, right?
Yeah.
But I'm grateful I'm grateful that that happened, because that allowed me to pursue other avenues in high school. And I think that I would be a different person if I had just done theater. Not saying that I would be a worse person or anything else, but I think, you know, Heavenly Father was kind of just like guiding my life, and I needed to be able to pursue these other aspects rather than just focusing on theater. Yeah. So long story short, a little bit of success, a little bit of fun and singing and dancing. Would I ever do it again? Absolutely not.
Then you quit.
Absolutely. Actually, okay, so a quick funny story. Whenever we were doing Into the Woods, I had gotten so burnt out mm-hmm. on doing all these performances.
Oh, my goodness. It must be so tragic.
Well, I mean, it's nothing compared to what they do on Broadway.
Yeah.
But it's like we had to do shows back to back to back. And, like, it was just like, as a seventh grader, I just wanted to go home and play Nintendo GameCube, right? Yeah. Like, I didn't care. So we were doing like a reprise of the whole Into the Woods theme song, and we had to do this dance. And I'm at the beginning, or I'm not at the beginning, I'm at the front, and I'm mic'd. And we were having issues with the mics. And so the music director had just told us, hey, just sing as loud as you can. We don't know which mic will be working. It's really sketchy equipment, right?
Yeah.
So just go for it. So I was mic'd and I was doing my thing, and I was just so brain dead while doing it. It was just all muscle memory. And there's this part where we're supposed to reach forward and like grab our hips, kind of do like a Wonder Woman pose, and then while we're singing this one phrase, but then we repeat the phrase and we're supposed to kind of reach out like we're going to catch something. I got those mixed up, and so I did the Wonder Woman pose when we were supposed to do the catching pose, and so it was like into the woods to get the, and I had my hands on my hips and everybody else was reaching out, and I looked and I was like, crap, and then I like switched, and I was mic'd.
So you said it.
Yeah. So the whole running joke for the rest of the thing, they did like a DVD of the show, and it was like the director, the musical and the acting director did a little like thank you and kind of like a bloopers, like make fun of all of us kids kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And like the running joke was into the woods to get the crap.
Oh,
because
man.
I was mic'd and I had said it. And that led to my downfall in the theater arts.
Dang.
I couldn't recover from it. But I didn't mean to rant.
At least you got to be the star for a little while.
Yeah. I just burned out really fast. What about you? Did you have any musical? Yeah, I mean, you are a theater performance major right now.
I'm a theater performance concentration, which is a very small part of my major. Yeah. In middle school, I so regret giving it up in high school.
Yeah.
But like I said, my school was divided between like the rich people and the ethnic people.
Okay.
And so the theater people was full of all these like rich bougie people.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. So I got made fun of a lot. Like nobody wanted to be my partner in any of like the scenes. There was a girl in my class who was on TV and stuff, and people got upset because she was like, she had all this acting experience. And so my director would always make her the lead, even though she was a lot younger than everyone else. And people were like, these roles should be going to the older class members who have put in the time and who have put in the work. But she would be Glinda in The Wizard of Oz or Annie in Annie. So I did perform like that, and I was always a background dancer, and I was fine with it because I love to perform. But I remember I was on stage one day, and it was like just a little acting scene that we were doing. And I was coming off the stage, and she said something so rude that the entire class started laughing at me. And I was like, I'm done. I just can't do this anymore.
Oh my gosh.
So I gave up, and I felt bad. And I kind of felt bad about it, but I also did other things in high school that I like loved and I learned from.
I think that's the cool thing about the Tonys too. Even though with the Tonys, it's like people are famous, so nobody really rags on them.
Yeah.
But those people, to get to where they are now, had to go through kind of what you experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they're better than you because like you backed out or whatever. Like you found your calling in life, and you know they were still pursuing theirs. But
yeah, and I'm taking theater now. Like
yeah,
it's still something I love.
What would be if you could have your ideal dream role?
I've always wanted to be Jamie from the last 5 years.
Okay.
Which would be super difficult because it's a 2-person play.
Yikes.
So. But it's my absolute favorite musical of all time.
Man.
Which
okay.
Anna Kendrick played in the movie, and she actually started off in theater.
Like, really?
When she was a little girl, her parents would commute with her to New York. Like, I think in her book, she said she had to, like, get a hotel and stay for 3 days, and she only had one outfit. And she just had to, like, keep wearing the same outfit to her auditions. And she got the main role for the little girl in the play that she was in. And she had that at such a young age. And then when she went to go try to get into Hollywood, she couldn't. It was a lot tougher. Like, nobody would give her a role. So even if you have, like, all this experience in one art or growing up doesn't mean it's going to translate that well when you're trying to make it big.
Yeah. And I can see that. It, you know, the film industry is a whole completely different animal to the Broadway, the theater arts.
Yeah, but industry. she was so good. She was nominated for a Tony.
She didn't get it.
She didn't get it, but she was nominated, which is a huge.
Yeah, better than me, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Well, let's play a quick little game. What's like your top three favorite performances, like musicals that you've been to, or maybe not even been to, that like just like overall top three?
So number one to number three is the last 5 years in the Heights, Heathers.
Okay.
You?
I think number one to number three. Number one, Wicked.
Yeah.
Have you seen Wicked?
It was the first, actual musical I ever saw.
Yeah. I remember going into Wicked and being like, this is going to be so lame. Because it's from The Wizard of Oz. And I was just floored. Especially after Defy Gravity.
Oh, so good.
And I mean, when we saw it, Adina Menzel, it was her understudy who was performing that night. But even the understudy just... like blew us away, right? So good. So Wicked, definitely number one. A close number two is The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of went into that one as well, thinking like, oh, this is gonna be cheesy. It's a kids movie, right? But no, like that is just like the mechanics of the props. Like I'll never forget the stampede scene.
Yeah.
You know, where like Simba's and Mufasa dies and all that stuff. Like, how they worked the mechanics for the stampede was just so cool. And I think my third one, I haven't seen it. And this is kind of going back to the tag of, like, oh, it's, like, pop culture now. But I guess it's the same thing with Lion King. But anyway, I'd have to say probably my third one would be Hairspray.
Oh, that one's so good.
Only because my mom is so big into musicals.
Yeah.
Like, all growing up, she'd play soundtrack after soundtrack until the CDs would be super scratched that we couldn't even listen to them anymore. And at that point, we were, like, singing praises of relief. But, no, we'd listen to Hairspray all the time. We'd listen to Chicago. We'd listen to, this isn't a musical necessarily, but Walk the Line.
Yeah.
You know, the Johnny Cash movie and stuff. And, you know, whether we liked it or not, we knew all the words to all the songs. And I think Hairspray was just, like, a fun family one. that we always enjoyed. And so that's probably three just for the nostalgia.
We talked a bit about the musicals. I want to talk a little bit about the plays, because the plays did the opposite, where the ones that were expected to win did. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, like, basically won everything.
Yeah.
Was it deserving of that, though?
I don't know if I'm the right person to ask about this, because I'm just going to go out and say it. I'm not, like, I'm burnt out on Harry Potter.
True.
I read the books, you know, religiously.
Did you read the play?
I didn't. You're talking about The Cursed Child?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. It was at that point when I was, I think whenever I came to BYU-Idaho, that's when I got burnt out. And granted, like, I was a huge fan. Like, I would dress up as Harry all the time for Halloween. I read the books, like, the day they came out. Like, we would go to, not me, but, like, my mom would go to, like, the midnight opening of the book release, and she would get it for us, and we'd read them, and saw all the movies, you know, and, and even my freshman semester, we had a white elephant gift exchange with our FHE sisters, and I was so poor that what I did was I went out to the tree in front of our apartment complex, broke off a twig and shaved it down and made it look like a wand.
Oh, nice.
And that was like the hot commodity. Like that's the gift everybody wanted, because I had just carved it into a little Harry Potter wand, and people loved it. So like, don't get me wrong, at one point I was a fan, but I'm just so burnt out. And so the second I found out that there's this play about it now, I'm like, good grief, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm the best person necessarily, but I can see how it is appealing to the fandom. And don't get me wrong, I'm super excited that this is happening. But I mean, with these new movies coming out, you know, Fantastic Beasts, and you have the Cursed Child book, and you have this play, I feel like it's kind of
overkill.
Yeah. Like what's happening to Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like, oh, instead of producing a movie every so often, we're producing a movie every 6 months, and it's in your face and merchandise and blah, blah, blah. And we're introducing characters who have no relevance to any story whatsoever.
But people just like them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm not the type of sheep person. And what I mean by sheep person is like, I'm not going to see a logo in the movie theater and be like, oh, I have to go see that movie.
Yeah.
I want to see a movie because it actually appeals to me.
That makes sense.
And I'm kind of burnt out. Like, I'll be honest, I haven't seen Fantastic Beasts.
I haven't either.
Oh, okay. Yes. Respect. High five. But anyway, so I'm probably the wrong person, but I can see how it would appeal to people and, like, how it would do well. Because people want this story to continue. People want this fantasy to continue.
But the thing is, people didn't like it.
Oh, I thought they really did like it.
No, they... So, a lot of things that they liked was, like, the special effects, the lighting. Those things are so cool to see magic on stage. But when the book came out and it was just purely the book, there were things that they loved, like the fact that they made Hermione black.
Mm-hmm.
They loved that. And I can see why. It's inclusive. They never said in the book what ethnicity she was.
That's right.
They just said she had frizzy hair, which a lot of women do. I know I do, and I'm Hispanic. So they love things like that. But when the book came out and it was just the book, they were like, this is not Harry Potter. Like, he was in the book, he's portrayed as this, like, terrible father.
Oh.
The movie ends with him saying, like, telling his son, like, if you get into Slytherin, it's not a big deal. And then his son gets into Slytherin, and all of a sudden Harry's like, doesn't know how to raise his son. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do with you. And he says, like, at one point he tells his son, I hate you, and it comes out on accident. But people are like, this is a kid who spent his entire childhood being abused by his family.
Right.
He would be a lot more mindful of how he's raising his kids.
Yeah, no, that's so true.
So a lot of people were very upset. They said it didn't feel like J.K. Rowling had written it. It sounded like she wrote the character Scorpio, and then the other two wrote everything else. And we're like, well, we need drama.
Okay, so is the Cursed Child book, is the play based off of that book, or is
the book is the play?
Oh, okay. Oh man, yeah, the musical arts is a fun thing, regardless. I mean, sure, very dramatic, on and off the stage.
So dramatic.
But I think there is a special and a notable quality of talent that comes from those actors and performers.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in a movie, you can redo a scene.
Yeah.
You know, and they sometimes redo scenes 5 or 6 times until it's perfect, right? But with the musical arts, what you see is what you get. Yeah.
And a lot of the actors in the plays this year started on screen. The girl who plays Eliza in My Fair Lady, she was on a television show. Tony Shalhoub, he won for The Band's Visit. He was the actor who won Best Actor. Mm-hmm. He plays in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is like one of my favorite shows. And so I haven't seen this play, but I already know, like, he is a fantastic actor. But it must be so difficult to go from, okay, let's redo that take, it wasn't perfect, to, oh, well, you're just going to have to do better the next night. Philippa So, she said that, like, when you said that you had muscle memory, she said that in the middle of a performance once, like, it was just muscle memory, and she realized, I don't know the lyrics. Like, they had been running for a while, and she's like, I can't remember a single lyric that I'm supposed to sing right now.
Whoops.
So she just, like, winged it until she could get to a place where she remembered. So no matter how rehearsed you are, you can have moments like that because you're memorizing, like, 2 hours worth of material.
Right. Yeah.
And performing it every single night. You can't expect to be present. It just must be so crazy for them.
Well, regardless of who won or didn't win.
Yeah, these shows are going to run. They're running now. They're going to run for a long time. Some of them are going to last the test of time. Some of them won't, and that's okay. We'll see them when they're revived in a couple of years.
Right, yeah. And I guess just for me personally, I encourage people to go check these shows out. Like, granted, they may be a little bit more expensive than your average Friday night movie, but there is something different about being in, even if you're in the nosebleeds, like being there.
Being present.
Yeah, like the live performances.
Or just wait till your kids are in a performance of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I saw In the Heights.
Yeah, but obviously following the standards of the 13th Article of Faith, you know, there's things that are like really great and there's things that are like, maybe we should avoid it. Thanks for listening to The Spot. Thanks for being with us. And, you know, go see a musical or at least watch something on YouTube from it.
Or also a play. Plays are great, too. I mean, they're not as jazzy, but they're still really good. They have a lot of human empathy and can teach valuable lessons. I think both of them can.
Yeah. Support your local theater department. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Spot. We've been your hosts. I'm Bailey Escamilla.
And I'm Miles Prim.
Have a nice day. You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were Miles Prim and Bailey Escamilla. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by Bailey Escamilla. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music is Running by GJ Quads. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media or visit our website, byuidahoradio.org, and click podcast. Be sure to subscribe to The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts.